Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
What is up, Paul?
Oh, we were a little late this morning. I'm sorry for everybody here. It's that time of year, you know, it's Christmas and stuff.
Did you bring enough for everybody in the class today?
No.
No?
Later we'll go out for milk.
The little eggnog on the side of your mouth?
There. Yes. Okay. Exactly.
You know, by the way, are we doing a Christmas show this year?
Of course.
And what day do we do that?
Because
I know you're going on your little...
That'll be on the 22nd.
On the 22nd of December?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Christmas show. So, Christmas show, for everybody who didn't catch our impromptu Christmas show, I'm giving you guys a heads up.
Oh, my goodness.
Notice this time,
people
right?
People called in. We got drunk.
Since we answer to a higher power ourselves, right, which seems to be the theme of new government in the United States,
isn't
right?
That the truth?
We, last year... Impromptu had a Christmas show where we had crackling fire.
We did
from YouTube, last year we were.
Last year
we were working on a small, you know, string budget. Now we got like woohoo, we're better, right? So last year we actually could not show people that we had a fire roaring on YouTube. This year we can show people that there's a fire roaring on YouTube. We can just broadcast it right here on this screen.
That's true.
Yeah. In fact, we are saving today from not going live on camera so that we have some money in shekels to put towards that for the Christmas show. So we're saving
for
the Christmas
penny.
Show. Okay. So, God, that sounded really miserly, didn't it? Okay. All right. So we're having the Christmas show. It'll be on the 22nd of December.
This is an aging show. Can I tell you about my own aging journey?
You mean other than the fact that you're getting old, this is something we talk?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Not the truth. We... at our household, are celebrating Christmas for the first time in years. I used to do it a lot when my daughter was little, and then after she went off away and had a baby and all that, we stopped putting up trees and stuff. I don't know, it just didn't seem like that exciting a thing to do for just my wife and I. Now we have a grandson, he's 3, and all of a sudden we're saying, hey, let's put the tree back up and all that.
Wait a minute, hold on, Grandpa Paul.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Hold
you
on.
Know, I expect like little reindeer halts when I say, hold on. Okay, hold on. So you're telling me that your grandson, who's 3 years old, this will be the first Christmas that you celebrate with him in your house?
Kind of. I mean, we didn't really do much
last year. But with the whole hoopla and the Christmas
tree? Yeah, because he's 2 and a half, so last year he was 1 and a half, and we didn't think he didn't really kind of get what was going on. So
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so this year we decided we're going to bring it all back, and we're going to get down the boxes that we'd put up in the attic, and let's do it again.
I'm feeling the spirit of the season right here just listening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited, because I don't know why we just, you know how, maybe I'm the only one, but as you get older, my parents, they stopped putting up trees and stuff after I left. I mean, do you put up, you know, we'll ask your guest here, does everybody still put up trees?
Greg Agamanukian is our guest here in the studio, and yeah. Greg Rass will be joining us here on the phone in a few minutes.
We'll ask Greg.
But you guys do that, right? You dress up the whole thing.
Absolutely. Christmas tree is very important, and it should be put up every single year. And I think you should be dressed up as Santa Claus.
Well, I kind of am with the beard.
Ho, ho, ho. My name is Paul.
So really, as you get older, I mean, because I know lots of people, I guess I thought about this again, lots of my friends, as their kids have grown up and moved away, they stop putting up the lights, the tree, and all the other stuff. Whatever they do, certainly my parents did. They just do a couple little minor things. But the whole blown Christmas seemed to be more for kids.
You know what? Can we call Greg Rath? Because I know that he was planning to be in the studio. And for those who don't know, Greg is a friend of the show's. He's been on here a couple of times.
We'll introduce your first guest.
Yeah, too, yes, I want to bring him on because I want to just say that the reason why Greg is not physically in the studio is because he is on grandpa duties as well. Right, and he's basically, you know, got his grandkids, and the babysitter didn't show up, so, you know, I didn't get the dog ate my homework excuse, but I got the babysitter didn't show up excuse, right?
It's a pretty good one.
It's a pretty good one. No, so I would like to get him on this conversation. I will introduce my guest in the studio today, Greg Agamanukian, and Greg and I are friends. We've known each other for how long, Greg?
A lot of years.
Way too long?
A lot of years, no. A lot of good years, actually.
A lot of good years. And have had a lot of interaction with each other on different things, and give a shout shout out to a common friend of ours who introduced us, Jonathan Segarian. Jonathan is freezing his butt off in New Jersey right now while we're sitting in balmy winter weather, California. But Jonathan had introduced us a long time ago, and we've done a couple of things together work-wise, and we've become really good friends. So Greg is here because I wanted to talk today, and we usually do a Veterans Hour. We decided a few months ago, about 6 months ago, that we would do like a Veterans Hour every once in a while. And most of our focus is on care and aging and the journey of aging. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is this time of year, and just in general, where we are more aware of things that give us joy in our life, things that basically support us. Is Greg on the phone?
Greg Rass, welcome to OC Talk Radio again.
Hey, good to be on, guys. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
Say hi to Rod and our other guest. Does he know our other guest?
Greg, say hi to Greg.
Greg, you got a great name, by the way. A pleasure meeting you.
2 G's or 1 G?
1 G.
There you go.
There you go. Man of many words.
Why would anybody put 2 G's at the end? Greg,
that's 3 G's to one word.
Exactly. I'll take 3 G's for that word. So we were talking a little bit about grandkids or just Christmas and whether it changes as you get older, and when you have kids or grandkids, it kind of, you reinvent your Christmas traditions,
right?
Maybe.
So we're doing a survey here of all the guests because we're coming close to Christmas, and I confess that for a number of years after my daughter grew up and moved away and got married and stuff, that for a number of years we stopped putting up Christmas decorations at the house. A couple little things, but we didn't put up a tree, we didn't do the lights outside, we stopped doing all that after she grew up. And now that my grandson is just about to turn three, we decided we're going to bring all that back. So this year is the first year in a number of years, and everybody looked at me like I was some kind of Scrooge. As your kids grew up, did you just keep putting up the full-blown tree and everything here after they grew up?
I'll tell you, I would not want to do that. My wife is all into that.
Yeah, right. Well, most wives are.
She does the whole house. I do the top of the tree and the garland, and I put the lights on outside. But if it was my druthers, I wouldn't. But since she's all into it, I do. So, yeah, and plus now with the grandkids, it's great,
right?
When they come over.
But before you had grandkids, there must have been a period between children growing up and grandkids. Did you still do the full-blown thing? Is it just continued?
Yeah. Or? You just went to Hawaii.
Yeah, well.
Yes, we did. And, again, it was my wife. She likes to decorate the house. As soon as Thanksgiving hits, she's got
all
the
over.
Whole house together within a day.
Wow. Okay.
So I know Greg in the studio, your wife is all over that stuff too.
Absolutely, but I can't really speak in the same terms as these two gentlemen are speaking because I still have kids at home.
Aha. Uh-huh.
No
okay.
grandchildren, and
okay.
we're still putting up a tree.
Well, then that makes sense. All right.
So again, this time of year, and you're putting up the Christmas tree. It's kind of interesting. I was looking at some statistics, okay? And I know, for those who don't know, Greg Rass is not only a city council member in Mission Viejo, but he's also, and if I get this wrong, Greg, apologize, but is it CEO of Patriots and Paws?
I'm the president of the executive board of the charity called Patriots and Paws, yes.
Right, so it's because it's a nonprofit. Okay, so, and Patriots and Paws, if you will take a minute, Greg, would you give a little background on what Patriots and Paws does? And it's a great mission, actually.
It was founded by a lady named Penny Lambright, who basically got inheritance when her parents died, and she put the whole thing into this charity to help veterans. It initially started out rescuing dogs and then training them as for companionship for the veterans, both physical and mental health issues, and now it's expanded. We have a large warehouse in the city of Orange, 7,000 square feet. As people buy new furniture here in Orange County, we pick up their aged furniture, that as long as it's in pretty good shape, and we have a warehouse, and any veteran shows their that they were a veteran or are current active duty can come and pick up any piece of furniture they need.
And I don't think you guys charge for that, do you?
No, it's all free. We have refrigerators, appliances, knives and forks, anything they need to furnish their homes. So 3 days a week, we go out and pick up, and 3 days a week, we have the warehouse open where veterans can come and pick it up.
That's awesome. That really is awesome. And then you also team them up if they're interested with a companion, right? That's
the
paws part of it.
You have to say dog. Companion could mean something else, too. You know, it could mean like, you know.
No, it has to be a dog. I go to Long Beach Hospital once in a while when they have these group sessions talking to veterans. And this one poor gentleman from Vietnam era, he was complaining how he's been through three wives and things hadn't worked. And we said, you need a dog.
Yeah.
And we got him a golden retriever. He's so happy now. He goes, loyal. He goes, he could be happier. So he was just looking for something for companionship and just for unconditional love. And,
right.
and a dog is that. They are just.
So are you saying the dogs are better companions for men than women?
That's a slippery slope there.
Is that where we're going?
In this specific case.
Very well played in this specific case. Very well played, Greg.
Wow, what a politician.
Well, right.
Go ahead, Greg. Finish your...
No, he's just so happy. He is just this whole personality in him that I haven't seen. I mean, it's good to see some of these veterans in the ER matched with the dog. Who obviously a man's best friend, and it's really exciting. And I have a golden myself, and you know he runs his house, and we're keeping there when he's there.
What's Greg? You have a dog? What's your dog?
I have a dog named Cookie. She's a white Labrador, about 90 pounds.
Oh wow!
And I got to tell you, she's one of my best friends.
So you guys both have Labradors?
Absolutely.
I've never seen a white Lab. I've seen black Labs. And...
Yeah, she's pure white.
Wow, I've never seen a white one.
Yeah, well,
we have a golden
retriever.
His name's Ronald Reagan, so we call him
right, Ronnie.
Ronnie. Well, just again, just this time of year, a lot of people are asking, you know, for dogs, especially the kids. Like, oh, I want a dog, I want a puppy,
yeah.
Right? Just kind of a public announcement here. It's like 8 million dogs and cats enter shelters in the USA each year.
Oh, well,
more than half of whom won't make it out alive.
And if you want to go get a dog, go down the Mission Viejo shelter.
There's a no-kill shelter. San Clemente is Mission Viejo a no-kill?
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
San Clemente.
And San Clemente.
Four other cities besides Mission Viejo,
yeah.
So it's getting to be pretty big.
Yeah, wonderful shelter, and they have emergency care down there, and go support them right over by Home Depot over there.
Yeah, and so, Greg, were you saying that you were moving away from that model for Patriotism Paws?
Yeah, we married up. Well, the charities that do that specifically, so we work in concert with them. So we're not specifically doing it ourselves now.
But
actually rescue the dogs, but we work with the other charities.
So you're still helping place based on veterans that you feel maybe benefit from that sort of companionship or giving. Oh, now you're using companionship. Okay, companionship or give back, or you know, that sort of unconditional love that we get. And to be truthful,
that you can't get from a woman.
Well, I don't know what show you're doing. Okay, I don't know. We'll have to talk. I'm feeling like there's something going on with you, Paul. We might have to take it off the air here.
A little anger,
the break.
A little anger issues.
So, poor guys talking. We better be nice.
Yeah, I apologize to all the women out there that are listening to us, including my wife, who I know is listening. But there is something to be said, and I think especially like with veterans or people that are maybe, you know, this is a lonely time of year for a lot of people.
Is this?
That don't have
that's
family
a good
around
point.
Them.
They always say Christmas is when suicides go up and all sorts of emotional issues, because it's a very emotional time of year. And I remember only once in my whole life was I alone on Christmas. I'd moved to California, and it was all by myself, and my roommates left, and I was alone. And that was just, you know, I wasn't even going through anything traumatic or anything. Is this a difficult period of time for veterans?
I think so. It's if they don't have a loved one nearby in their home alone, absolutely. And we work so hard within our city, Mission Viejo, where we adopt different families and help out the veterans at Camp Pendleton, especially when their husbands are deployed.
Yes, right.
And so we help the families. But for veterans who've gotten out and have just kind of made some missteps and find themselves down and out, we try to help out. And there's so many other good charities within Orange County that's there for them. I was at an event last night for... It's called 211-OC.
Yeah.
If you ever have a problem, you dial 211 and they'll hook you up with the right organization for your specific needs. So
phenomenal group. They've been on here, and I don't think enough people know it. You can literally dial 211 instead of 411 and connect with these people.
Right. Wow. By the way, American Veterinary Association survey Nearly 50% of respondents considered their pets to be companions, while only 2% thought of them as property. Fewer feelings of loneliness, and a Purdue researcher found that 97% of respondents talk to their pets. So it's an amazing thing that we talk about caregivers here on this show all the time. We talk right. about the importance of caring for caregivers, and I think that you could extrapolate that to where it's veterans who have cared for us in different ways, mm-hmm. and our duty to basically care for them. And then in many cases, especially with PTSD, that there is genuine emotional stuff going on. There's genuine diagnosed situations going on that where a companionship and unquestionable love and giving back from an animal and vice versa, that companionship, that relationship is critical sometimes for that lack of loneliness, that higher, maybe helping reduce a little bit of that suicide rate.
I'll give you another strange example. We had, I don't know if Greg's aware, but there's a Shea Riding Academy, Shea Riding over
San Juan Capistrano.
San Juan Capistrano, right near Mission Viejo there. And they bring autistic children
to horses
and blind children and put them on horses, and they say the reaction is just something unbelievable, the way these animals sense and connect with these kids and vice versa.
I'm a Rotarian and we go down there.
Do you? Yeah. I've never seen it, but they say it's just phenomenal to watch this.
Greg, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say something, because I think over the last maybe 10 to 15 years, the way we perceive our pets, or in particular our dogs, has changed tremendously. And I think, it's almost beyond being a companion, it's being a member of your family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, much so, yeah.
And if you talk to a lot of dog owners and how they view their kids, their wife, and their dog, it's sort of, okay, there's obviously there's differences between everyone, but it's really a member of their family, mm-hmm. and how they take care of them mm-hmm. is very different, and how they interact emotionally, there's a special bond. If you connect with your dog at that level, there's a whole different relationship that happens.
Well,
but you have to learn that a little bit.
It is complete loyalty. It's complete love.
It's a two-way street in terms of loyalty. I mean, I think once you, I've never had cats. I've never had dogs.
Dogs.
I've had cats.
Yeah, we have
but
cats. Right.
I've had uncles who have had dogs, and in some cases, hunting dogs and bird dogs and stuff like that.
Right.
So I've had exposure, but I will say this: I think even with cats. And cats pretty much, if anybody who's a cat lover out there, cats pretty much allow you to stay in your own house, right?
Because yeah, right.
It's their home and you happen to be a renter, right?
Right.
But I think dogs, it's a completely different situation. But, it is really an interesting reality. And I think when you add that emotional need that you get from that companionship, from that relationship, and how sometimes it is primary in your life when there's nothing else going on in your life that's giving you that support. And you, and Greg, I was going to ask you, Greg Agamanukian, I was going to ask you, now you have your dog Cookie. Have you always had dogs?
I've always wanted to have a dog, was never able to get a dog because my parents didn't like having a dog because they did not know enough about it.
Same thing with me.
Same thing happened to my wife. My wife did not, when she saw a dog, she used to cross the street and go to the other side.
Yeah, right.
And then finally one day she said, okay, let's have one because that's a different story altogether. So we got a little puppy.
Yeah.
And she was 8 weeks old when she came to our home. And now she's 90 pounds. Uh-huh. And you got to see how my wife relates to the dog.
Uh-huh.
And her fear of dogs, once she understood what they do,
right.
has completely changed. And it's kind of, and she, what she says in hindsight, she goes, it's too bad that I did not learn about this when I was much younger. And it took me all these years
because you would have had that benefit in your
life. Yeah, and missed all the experience.
And that's how I felt about women for a long time. But that's another story.
And if they're listening to the show,
I'm
glad you're married because you'd be going through that again.
Right. I was afraid of them, and my mother wouldn't let me have one.
So how long have you had Cookie?
I've had Cookie for about 3 years, and it's been a learning experience for me to kind of understand what they go through.
So here's an interesting thing, because people, I know you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to just be a little bit personal,
sure.
Right? You were going through some stuff 3 years ago.
Absolutely.
And so having the dog at that point in time, right, I'm trying to reach there, right? I'm trying to reach, like, what did you get out of that because of what you were going through to have a dog at that moment in time, right? Was it a therapeutic? Did you find that routine of caring for the dog? I'm asking for a reason because I'm taking us to where we need to go.
I can relate to two things. I mean, I remember I always had, pretty engaging, high-stress occupations, let's call it that. And I used to remember when I used to come home and my kids were very young, the fact that you walk into the house and you got to change diapers, disconnects you from sort of what's happening and it kind of anchors you back into life. Saying, you know, these are the basics. This is what you have to do right now. Change the diapers. So when they get older, obviously, they don't want to spend too much time with you and then hopefully they'll come back later in your life.
Well, I think it's really, it would be odd to for changing their diaper when they're older.
But the thing that happens with dogs and going back to sort of the connection, it's like it's when I walk into the house today, I mean, my dog knows I'm in the house, so there's a true emotional connection.
Yeah.
It almost feels what you're feeling. And people say, well, dogs can't talk. Well, that's a complete lie, because if you actually try, they talk right back to you. And obviously, the master of that is a person that I met recently, Cesar Millan, and we've been working with him on doing a couple of different things.
Let me ask this, because tell people, what are you doing now? Because you're engaged in a venture now.
Correct. So basically, I'm the president of a company called B-Air, and we've been moving air.
B-Air.
We've been moving air for about over two decades now, and we specialize in...
What do you mean by moving air?
Because Rod moves a lot of air.
Correct. We do it mechanically. So what we do
is... It's your fault. You gave me a radio show. Okay.
We basically started off almost 20 years ago, and we're the pioneers in developing blowers for the inflatable business, the bounce houses that the kids jump into.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been the pioneers in kind of, you know, building different kind of technical blowers for that industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, we also sort of moved into dog dryers, and we've been...
Dog dryers?
Dog dryers. That's exactly the reaction.
This is why I'm asking, because he established a bond with Cookie, right, at a time in his life where there was that depth of connection, I think.
Correct.
And he needed that. And I think Greg Rath, you to say the least, you know, have had a, you know, you say you have held jobs that are stressful, wouldn't you say, Greg?
Yeah, I was a fighter in the Marine Corps.
Pretty stressful.
Wasn't the book called Nine Lives of a Fighter Pilot, Greg?
Yeah,
exactly. So that tells it all, right? And
he was overchanging the diaper.
And as a city council member, I'm sure it's not less stressful. I mean, it's
not in Mission Viejo. It's a very loving place in Mission Viejo.
Uh-huh. Okay. So anyway, so I think both of you, I would assume that's a nice part of your lives where you have that bond with your
Absolutely.
With your companion, with your four-legged companion, with your family member.
It's simple. Yeah. It's basic. It's real. They don't care what you bring to the table. You know, we had that one show where we talked about homeless shelters, and so many of them have had to adapt because the homeless people, the only thing they have, the connection, is that dog on the street, because it loves them unconditionally. It doesn't know that we're on the street. It doesn't know that we're poor. It's just happy that you're petting them.
That's an excellent point, actually.
Yeah.
So where does a person who is president of a company that moves air, okay, I love that term, by the way, I'm going to have to use it. I may not use it in the same appropriate tense.
We move air mechanically.
We move air mechanically. But person who's a company moves air, which is huge. I mean, you're talking about those, not only the bounce houses, but you're talking about the water damage.
Yeah, we do water damage industry. We do the bounce houses, and we do dog dryers for Petco, PetSmart, and a lot of different groomers across the country. We were pioneers in that industry.
So the company was already doing dryers.
Correct.
For grooming centers at large box stores.
Correct. And what people don't understand is, and it took me a while to understand, is when you take your dog to the groomer and you pick the dog back up in about an hour, how does it go from taking a full bath and being dry and waiting for you at the door?
Yeah, right.
Well, if you think about it a little bit, there has to be a dryer back there, and that's exactly what groomers use. They use dryers to dry off your dog.
So, Greg Rath, do you have a dog dryer at home?
How do you bathe your own dog? Right. Do you bathe the dog?
You just let him run around and dry off.
Okay.
He moves his own air.
So Ronnie moves his own air.
And you know, most people, and I've asked this question almost 20 different times to 20 different people, they all give us the same answer, because most people at home, when they bathe their dog, they dry them off in two different ways. One would be a towel, which makes a wet dog damp, but not dry, or they use a blow dryer. Two things that are wrong, and I'll explain the blow dryer. It's a little more easier to understand. Dogs get scared of a lot of different noise, especially if they're not introduced properly.
Right.
So a blow dryer is very close to their ears, depending on their size as well.
Right.
The second thing that's not good about a dryer is that it applies heat to dry off a dog. And what it does, it increases their body temperature.
Mm-hmm.
The way you got to dry off a dog and the way professional groomers do it, they apply high-velocity air to repel the water off their coat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to...
Because a dog naturally does repel water, most particularly the retrievers.
So it's almost
dogs.
Like the way that if you run your car through a car wash.
Correct.
Where
and if you don't dry off your dog the right way, and especially, like, I mean, not so much in California, but other parts of the country where it's colder, and they come into the house, they're going to smell like a wet dog, and it's going to take a while. Or if they're going to come into air-conditioned environments, they're going to get cold, just like you do when you have wet hair.
Well, and see, and this is really funny, right? Because all those words, all those descriptors that you're talking about as far as the experience of going through that,
yep.
Right? We talk about them all the time when it comes to age, you know, seniors, where it comes to talk about, you know, I'm stepping in and out of a tub, for example, right? And we take that extra precaution about temperature, body temperature, sensitivity to body temperature, you know, wetness, the fact that, if you're a bit more frail, that, you know, that dampness is actually not good for you. It could cause issues. And yet, we don't really think about it so much when it comes to our dogs.
Correct. And there's a couple different things you also have to think about. Is most important, the emotional aspect. So a dog, for example, when you're going to take it to a groomer, it'll get in the car because you're putting it in the car. It
right.
trusts you.
Right.
It goes on to a groomer, and it could be the best groomer in the world. But when you hand the leash off to somebody else, it doesn't know you're going to come back and pick it up.
No, they don't get that.
So they go through this emotion. And when they get into basically the grooming area, let's call it, there's a lot of noise because there's grooming going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's smell, mm-hmm. and they smell fear
sure.
of other dogs.
Well, there's other dogs in there.
So there's a lot of dynamics going on there.
So, Greg, have you thought about that? Or is this?
No, I feel bad now.
Wow.
Most people do not think about that.
I've been drying them off with a towel.
There you go.
Greg, you know, you're supposed to trust but verify. Didn't you know that?
but he's not. I mean, most people don't think about that because when they go pick up their dog, the dog is happy, not because it took a bath. It's happy because they saw you again and knows it's coming back home.
Yeah, they're not happy. Oh, look what happened to me here. Don't that look beautiful? Right. Well,
they're like, don't ever take me back.
No, yeah, like, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we're all laughing, right?
Yes.
But it is, you shocked the heck out of me when you gave me the statistics on this, right? Go ahead and share the statistics.
Well, okay, let's
sit down, Greg.
Okay, let's talk about this a little bit without naming any names. But there's a lot of accidents and deaths that happen while grooming, and that's because the dogs are panicking. And accidents happen, and not everybody can handle a dog the right way.
Right.
Especially if you look, you know, I'm sure dog owners that are out there know their dogs pretty well.
Well, especially when you're being paid minimum wage to work in those
grooming. Right. So there's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of dog deaths that happen out there. And I'm not saying that groomers are bad. They're fantastic. But things happen out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when we talk about the emotional aspects, and this is where back to your question, I have, you know, a dog for 3 years, and I learned through this process. I had no idea what they go through before.
So what triggered that?
Well, because when I used to take my dog, I could sense the fear, and I could sense when I was picking up. So my dog, my groomer is great. I call ahead of time. I make sure she doesn't go into a cage. I pick her up right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of time out of my day. And when you're working, you know, 7 days a week, the only time that I could really put some time aside was Saturdays, right? Mm-hmm. So when you use a dog dryer and you start doing at least some of the grooming at home, there's a real value proposition there for you. Secondly, your time.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was a 4 or 5 hour ordeal every single time I used to do this.
Well, you're also bonding with your companion that you haven't seen all week.
And that's the most important part. You see, when I'm grooming my dog, Cookie's licking me at the same time, my hands and stuff. So it's fantastic.
It's a family show.
It's a family show.
Let's keep it clean.
So would this work for women, too? I mean, could you get them?
What is with you today?
I'm just trying to find other ways to bond.
We'll give you a dog.
I'm going to need to call your wife and have her call in here. I don't know. I'm here and I don't know.
So when we're thinking about sort of, you know, we used to sell to groomers all the time. We said, well, how come we don't sell this to the public?
Yeah.
And we started talking to various people, and we talked to Caesar and Caesar Milan. And Caesar goes, this is a fantastic product because he was there. He's been a groomer for 10 years. And he said, there's a real emotional connection. When you are spending time finishing an activity with your dog, it's like giving a bath to your kids when they're younger or an elderly person.
Yeah.
That connection is fantastic.
Sure.
Well, and we talk about this all the time, that we are programmed as human beings, and I would think the same way, same thing probably with animals. And in fact, the Shea Center is a perfect example of that,
right.
Is that we are programmed for touch. We're programmed for connection.
Yes.
Right? And so, and the more we disassociate from that, the further we get away from connections and primary relationships, whether it is because of being in service and, you know, being placed at remote parts of the world,
right.
or working too many hours. And, you know, I mean, everything suffers. Our family relationships suffer. Our connection with one another suffer. We talk about, you know, everybody is so in contact on social media, but nobody has depth of relationships.
Sure.
Then all these things are very DNA programmed into how we are physiologically put together. So
there's something about touch.
It makes perfect sense.
Petting a dog. My mother, on a serious note, my mother used to run an animal shelter back in the Midwest, and she used to take animals out to the senior citizens' homes, as we called them then, and people who hadn't talked in years would come alive once they touched a dog.
Absolutely. Well, one of the benefits, actually, you know, I mean, and again, I'm gonna lean into your bad side, you know, the evil side of the show right now. But one of the, you know, health benefits. I was reading something in preparation for the show. Is Dr. Weil, W-E-I-L, and he's sort of a life coach, and it was relevant to the health benefits of companion animals, right? Mm-hmm. And one of them is where I got that statistics about the 50% of the respondents considering their pets as companions versus property, right?
Right.
But one of the things that jumped at me was also that, you know, you had lower blood pressure.
Oh, of course.
Studies of lower blood pressure associated with companionship of that nature. Fewer, the meeting of other people, right? So
absolutely.
What you're talking about, the social thing. Now, any guy
who has a dog
in the early dating years, yes, knows that if you have a dog, your chances of meeting people is higher. But it's true. I think it brings people together.
No question about it.
You see, anybody walks Dana Point Harbor, down by where Greg Rath and I live, you know, you'll see it every day.
And what it does, basically, when you're walking your dog, and especially, I guess it goes back to sort of the veterans we're talking about mm-hmm. socialization. When you're walking your dog, kids will come up and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or your neighbor. You're going to meet your neighbors.
That's
it's a conversational piece.
And starts a conversation.
I mean, I've been living where I've been living for 10 years, and I just found out about my neighbors 3 years ago because of Cookie.
That's amazing.
It's just, yeah. It's crazy.
That's really amazing. So what is the statistics? Because there's deaths that happen, right? Because of this grooming, like, no, accidental. I'm not saying
thousands.
Thousands.
Yes.
You take your dog, you get groomed, and they come back and say, sorry, he's dead? Yikes. That would be a traumatic
thing. That's
day.
The thing that shocked me. That's the thing that shocked yep. me. And you're talking about it, about how many, you looked it up, right? Or you because of what you guys are doing now with this home dryer.
Sure.
How many pets are in the United States?
There's about 70 million registered dogs.
Wow.
In the United States.
It's like one out of three has a dog,
right,
or something.
It's a $70 billion
industry.
Registered.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dogs that are not registered. The pet industry, not the dog industry, pet industry is about $70 billion a year. And it keeps growing. And as people accept more and more dogs into their homes, and I'm talking not leaving them in the backyard, actually bring them to their home,
mm-hmm.
things start changing, right? And the expenditures go up. And the needs, and if you want to start taking care of them, what's required to take care of them starts changing. It's just having another child.
Do we need to take a break, Paul, or are we just going to go through it?
I think we just blow through because we got to end in about 5 minutes here because I got another.
Okay,
show.
So there's a couple of things. Okay, given this thing, I promised Greg here he wanted to, in the spirit of giving and Christmas and the importance of this topic, he wanted to give away one of the Fido dryers.
Fine, I'll take it.
And we wanted to gift one. I think, right? Greg?
Absolutely.
To Patriots and Paws.
Correct. It's called the BR Fido Max 1. It's part of the Cesar Millan Grooming Collection. Why, you know, we did this because this is the dog dryer that's been tested in the grooming environment for about 15 years.
Yeah.
It's ETL certified. It's got all the right features. But we would like the veterans to have one, to try it out.
Fantastic.
And let them, and you know, the most important thing about using a dryer is to learn how to use it.
Yeah, right.
Because there's an introductory method of introducing the dryer to the dog so it doesn't get scared.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Cesar Millan explained it was, he said, smell it first, let the dog smell the dryer, turn it on from a distance,
mm-hmm.
and unlike a hair dryer, there's a motor that's 6 feet away from the extension cord,
mm-hmm.
not the extension cord, but the nozzle at the end. So there's a lot of different things. I invite people to go to our website, beair.com, or go to Amazon. That's where we sell it.
b-air.com/pet/.
Right. And go through the videos. Yeah. Spend the time to learn about it, and then use it and take care of your pets.
And just to, you know, this is a serious piece of equipment built on a lot of technology that is already, correct, you know, the company has a lot of technology, not only in terms of, like we had said, you know, the water damage or the, you know, bounce houses, but specifically to grooming, but in big box stores, and this is bringing it home. It's available.
What do these normally run for? What's
the value? This
retails for about $119, and if you think about that, this is something that would last 4 to 5 years on everyday usage basis in a professional grooming salon.
Yeah.
So you buy one of these, you're pretty good for life.
Yeah. Right.
And just think about, you know, you go to a groomer, it's about $40 a pop, so in about 3 visits, you're done. And, you know, the best thing is the dog doesn't need to be wet to use this equipment. I use it coming after a hike, mm-hmm, to blow away the dirt, mm-hmm, because their coats are naturally meant to repel dirt.
Yes, right.
Well, and if you go to their website, I'm just checking out the website for b-air.com /pet, singular pet. They actually have a how cute is your dog competition going,
right,
on. And
it just finished, Rod. It just finished?
Okay, well, I'll tell you something. I want you to go to the Rad Life radio show or the Rad Life Facebook page, whoever is listening and is on social media. I want you to go on this. We're gonna when we have our Christmas show.
Yes.
Okay. We're gonna give away one of these.
You got it.
Fido.
That would be cool.
Why stop at one? Give two away.
Oh, okay. Wow! Look, this guy's.
We gotta make dogs happy.
Okay,
we gotta make dogs happy.
We're gonna give out, and we'll put this out on our social media. Okay, so between now and our show on the 22nd.
Yes.
I want pictures
of dogs.
Of how cute is your dog. But here's the caveat. It has to have you and your dog in the picture.
Yes.
Okay.
You can't just cut it out of a magazine.
No. I need to have name and just city of residence. Okay. So we can see just how far we're reaching people. But we will give two away. And we'll give it away in their choice of color out of four colors, which is what?
Correct. Purple, turquoise, green, and pink.
Turquoise is like a blue for those who are not interior designers in the room.
Correct.
But
light blue.
And then, Greg, I assume that you guys would like one too.
Well, yeah, on behalf of Patriots and Paws, we do appreciate it. We'll give it to a veteran. I know the perfect person, so.
See, there
perfect.
You go.
Perfect.
That's outstanding, and would it be, if it is appropriate? I know there's certain personal, you know, sensitivities involved with some people going through difficulties. But if it would be appropriate and it's okay with that veteran, I would love to have them also let us know how their experience was with using it.
Yeah, get some feedback.
And get some feedback.
It would seem like it would be a bonding. You know, you think of things you want to do with your dog together, and. A bath is. I've had dogs and I've had cats, and that period when you got to wash a dog, particularly dogs with big long hair, like you're talking about golden retrievers and stuff. We had a golden retriever, and periodically we had to give the dog a bath. You know, the dog would, especially if he'd run around the yard and picking up all the stuff. He liked that having had a bath. He didn't like the process of.
Well, and let's just put it. I'm going to just put a little human spin on it. And the bottom line is, a lot of people that I've known that have had dogs. Right, the grooming component is not just only for the dog's benefit, but also for theirs, because they feel like it's a sort of almost like an unkept house. If my dog is ungroomed, right?
Yeah, well, you'd want him looking all ratty and having all that stuff. And then because all the hair gets caught with stuff, and it's hard on him, and it's hard on
right.
You
and a lot of people actually, they will have a groomer come to the house. And do it out of, you know, like mobile grooming.
That's right.
Right? Because of that proximity of the house that you're talking about, Greg. So you know, people are listening to this show going, okay, I've been listening to you for almost 2 years, and you talk about aging process and caring for seniors and, you know, all of this stuff. Now you're talking about dogs. Okay?
Dog grooming.
Well, you know, this show has gone to the dogs. Okay? and you know what? I couldn't be prouder, because here's the thing. With both gentlemen that are on the show, both of my guests, okay, I know that their heart is one for service and giving. And I think this is just one more expansion and reflection of giving and caring to those who are in our lives, who give to us, whether they be veterans, whether they be four-legged companions or family members, whether they be actually people down on their luck. This is a time of year where we try to basically give. And you know what? Don't forget to give to your dog this year.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Right? So before we close this, I would love to have you gentlemen please give your corresponding contact information and website stuff.
Patriots and Paws and your organization.
So,
we'll start with Greg Rath.
Greg Rath, you want to start first?
Yes, our charity is run 100% of volunteers, but we do raise money to pay for rent for the truck we use and rent for the warehouse, and it's patriotsinpaws.org. And if you'd like to donate, we really would.
And if they got furniture, you guys will come. And how far will you go to get furniture?
All of Orange County.
Okay, all of Orange County. I might have some stuff for you. I might have some stuff for you come the middle of the month too, Greg. I'll be contacting you guys. It's brand new stuff that I need to basically move.
And once my wife hears this thing, I may be moving out too. So I may have some stuff for you.
So I guess if you don't hear from me, you know the furniture went to Paul because he's looking for a new apartment. But. Penny's awesome. Greg, he's a friend, but he's a stellar guy. I love having you on the show always, and I think your organization is a fantastic thing. I encourage everybody to check it out and get involved. Getting involved in volunteering, I'll tell you from my own personal experience, is another one of those things that you give to yourself, but you give to others.
Yeah.
And it's another way to fulfill that part of our soul that we step away from sometimes.
And you said it, I'll leave with this, is that you have, in a world where we're so disconnected, we are isolated in our cars. We're isolated in our homes to a large degree because we just come in and go out. We work so hard.
Right.
And we're all on the Internet. So more and more we're getting isolated. We feel like we're connected. I have 10,000 friends on Facebook, but I never sit and see any of them. So anything we can do to physically bring people together, particularly this time of year, or to help those who are isolated, I'm all for it.
Greg,
yep.
You were so right about the neighbors. I take my dog to the park. I don't know the neighbors' names, but that's Reagan's dad or that's...
There you go.
You know the dog's name, but you don't know the people.
Yeah, that's right.
Really got me out in the community.
Yep. You know, I'll say this, guys, too. As far as again being an aging show, now we started off talking about, you know, here's Paul having a grandchild of 3 years old, right? And Greg
rediscovering Christmas.
Greg can't make it to the show because he's actually filling in for a babysitter because he's taking care of his grandkids, which
absolutely
awesome. I mean, it was the perfect thing, by the way, right? We started off talking about Christmas and grandkids and that. So, but again, right? As we have a population that's getting older.
Mm-hmm.
As people that are in your companionship circle or your friendship circle are passing away, we find ourselves maybe seeking that kind of companionship, that unquestionable loyalty and sort of unconditional love that may come. So this time of year, again, you're going to get all, you know, if you got kids, oh, I want a dog, I want a pet, whatever. First thing I would say is rescue.
Yes.
Or find a shelter. Okay, there's way too many animals that end up there.
Stunning number of animals.
Right?
My cats were both
rescues. The other thing is, you know, consider the care of those members of your family, those new members of your family, those four-legged members of your family. And I will tell people, go check out this Fido. It's awesome, actually. I'm looking at it. And we'll be giving away two of them on the 22nd. Greg Agamanukian, why don't you give your contact information too, please?
Sure. So it's Greg at B-Air. And you can look up our website, call the general number. I can speak to anybody who wants to call me. Greg, I'm pleasure meeting you. And, you know, what a great cause. And I'm going to tell all my friends to come out and help you guys, including my family. My cousin's a veteran, and I know what they go through. It's an amazing contribution that a person makes for this country. So we got to remember them all the time.
All the time.
I wanted to connect you guys together because I think you guys could probably do great stuff together. So thanks for both for being on the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't make it down there, but you know how it goes.
No, absolutely, man. You know, family is first. I appreciate that very much. Have a great holidays, gentlemen, if I don't talk to you before.
Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Paul.
All right, see you.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.